Outlanders number 29, Sun Lord.
Grant, where's Kane?
Kane has been snatched away from his friends in the middle of a jump. Now, suffering from amnesia, he finds himself in a strange land with stranger powers.
Concentrate. You have powers beyond your wildest imagination.
Okay, but I don't see what good in them. Whoa. Did I do that?
Of course. You are the Sun Lord. Welcome back, Tonatio. Welcome back to the front lines.
Dearest Brigid, I'm afraid we must come to terms with our loss.
We have to find him. He's still alive. I know it.
Brigid Baptiste has been having dreams. Dreams that may reunite Kane with his friends.
Baptiste!
Kane!
Where am I? I'm here.
Kane!
I'm here. Where is here?
Kane! I know where he is.
But getting to him may require sacrificing more than they can bear. Their very souls.
Well, I am very pleased that you are all here. Now, please make yourselves at home. For you will die if you leave.
Outlanders 29, Sun Lord. The brick front of a building across the street bulged, buckled outward. Thrusting through the cascade of rubble came a vast, swag-bellied frog the size of a sandcat. It had long black dreadlocks and a mouthful of shark's teeth. Upon catching sight of Kane standing across the way, it threw its head back and uttered a terrifying bellow of challenge. Their driver snatched a bulky energy weapon from a rack behind his seat. Kane looked at the monster. He looked down at the Stone Age weapon in his own hand.
You have got to be shitting me.
Teresa fell to her knees beside him and clasped his sword hand in both of hers. They were small, cool, and dry, but their strength was fervid.
My lord, you must lay aside Kane and your skepticism. You are Tonatiuh, Lord of the Sun. As surely as that creature is Tlaltecuhtli, the Earth Lord, the Frog Monster.
With an overt air of fatalism, the driver aimed his plasma weapon at the monster and fired. The creature's outline appeared to blur. Perhaps it dodged with inhuman speed, for the blazing line flashed harmlessly past to explode the front of a structure on the next street over. Then the creature hunched forward and flung its tongue from its mouth. The tongue darted out like a snake, all the way across the street to wrap the kneeling warrior like a net. Screaming hoarsely, he sought to struggle free, his plasma weapon falling from his hands. He was snatched from his feet and whipped back across the street into that waiting mouthful of knives. Blood gouted from both sides of the hideous frog face. The frog monster clasped its sides with short arms and shook. Rage began to build, and as it did, it pressed Kane again into the background of his consciousness. The tongue lashed forth again to seize him. As he stared at it, the monster's movement seemed to slow to a crawl. He cocked his obsidian-bladed sword and waited. When the forked tip unfolded to reach for him like tentacles, he struck. The thin but infinitely sharp stone blades bit into the great muscle behind the fork with a shock he felt in his bones. Time sped up again. The blade bit through as effortlessly as a sharp scythe cutting grass. The forked tip fell away as reeking black blood showered Kane and the others. Geysering blood as a squid would spray its ink, the tongue whipped back across the street to disappear back into the shark-toothed mouth. For a moment, they stared at each other, man-god and monster-god. Black blood drooled down the frog creature's pendulous lower lip. Their rage grew until the air between them crackled as with corona discharge. Then Tlaltecuhtli gathered his enormous bulk and launched himself into a lumbering bipedal run that caused the ground to shake beneath Kane's feet. Suddenly, Kane's eyes lost focus. The charging monstrous bulk blurred almost to transparency. So did the buildings around him and his companions, and the vehicle that now burned with the pallid red flames of fuel alcohol. He saw all around him arcs and loops of fire, living fire, like the filaments and prominences of the sun. His fury was joined by wild joy. With no material arm, he reached out and clasped one of those strands of brilliance, though he knew it was horribly hot, as hot as the sun itself. Yet somehow he knew it would not burn him. The contact was like grasping not something hot, but a live electric wire. The energy surged through him, pain and ecstasy commingling, as did his fury and mad joy. Roaring, he cocked his arm back. Behind his plumed helmet, his sword burst into a blaze of flame beyond fire, so that his companions cried out, cowered, and shielded their eyes, momentarily more daunted by the fearful radiance of his sword than the onrushing mass of malevolence bearing down upon them. Tonatiuh flung his arm forward. A solar flare blasted from the blade of flame and struck the frog monster in the center of its gross, slogging torso. The vast creature was blasted backward, back to complete the ruin of the building it had run through, charring and dwindling as it flew through the air. Onward rushed the flare. In the next street, a building already damaged by the dead driver's plasma blast collapsed. Behind it, the base of a three-story building exploded. Kane became aware of a grip on his arm. He gazed down into the elfin, dark-skinned face of the hybrid woman.
Please, Lord, cut it off. You will destroy not just this city, but yourself as well.
He realized then that the power was not coming from within him. Rather, it was channeling through his body, his being. The power pulsing through those arcs of brilliance that he still saw, though ghostly now, surrounding them. And now he also sensed that as it passed through him, it was eroding and consuming him. But he was Lord of the Sun. He had but to command it to stop. It did.
Walter, somebody get him some water.